Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Bad, and then there's getting flexed out when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and potentially Taylor Swift bad. And that's where we currently stand. I know it's been a while since you and I spoke, Pat, but it's gone downhill quick. And the more it's happened, I'll be honest with you, I'm not totally like mad, not mad about it, but not totally upset by it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you know what? It's ugly. It's real ugly. Everything about what the Patriots are doing right now is ugly. 2-9. Just terrible. First team since them 30 years ago to lose back-to-back games while only giving up 10 points. And you know what? They've given up 62 in the last four games, and they're 0-4. I mean, it's unimaginable to play that terrible of offense and just not win over and over and over again. And so, you know, obviously it seems to be that Mac Jones is getting the bench and Bailey Zappi's getting the start. And at least from what practice reps look like, Malik Cunningham's going to be the backup quarterback. Now, I know he's not technically on the roster, but you don't have to bring him up to the roster to have him be the backup. He can play on a practice squad elevation. What can't happen is Mac Jones can't be the inactive third quarterback. So you either have to have three quarterbacks active for the game, like all counting towards your 46, or Mac Jones has to be just a straight up inactive if Malik Cunningham were to be the backup quarterback. Again, unless you were to say, you know, cut someone off the practice, off the regular roster and sign Malik Cunningham to the roster again, you'd have to do that. But you have plenty of practice squad elevations for him. They've only elevated once. So if you wanted him to be the backup quarterback, you could, and you could just sit Mac Jones down and just say, you know, it's time for a change. I don't think it's going to look any better with Bailey Zappi, but you have to do something. And this is, you know, look what the Jets did, right? Zach Wilson stinks. He stinks. The only quarterback worse than Zach Wilson is freaking Tim Boyle. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, it hasn't worked out with Zach Wilson, so you put in Tim Boyle, and it looks terrible. And you can't run an offense with Tim Boyle, but it's like, dude, just move on, man. Like, we're past that point right now. Just be done with it and move on.
So here's my thing with it. One, I think that I'm not going to say checked out, but Mac Jones, more than physically, has just been mentally drained from everything, where it's just it's like when you're having a bad day at work and you make one mistake and you keep overthinking as you just keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. Because with this team, it was like, so you and I spoke last before the New Orleans game. And obviously Dallas, that was bad. But the New Orleans was just like, I'm going to take a word for your vocabulary, but like a what are we doing here moment when you got torched 34-0. And then Vegas was just on him. But then Buffalo was weird where like that made been a bit of an epiphany. But ever since the Buffalo game, it's kind of just been there's been nothing good or to celebrate since the Buffalo game, considering who they've lost and now what's been lost.
Man, and he just like it's just bad, right? And Mac Jones was the guy that, you know, you thought, okay, he can win with his mind, right? He can win with his mind, and that's what's gonna get me there. And just was not the case, right? And hasn't been the case really since his rookie year. And I don't know. You know, I go back to the Bears game last year on Monday Night Football when he was coming off of injury. He clearly wasn't ready. Clearly wasn't ready. Should never have played in that game. And he plays in that game anyways, and he gets benched, and he's getting booed, which is embarrassing. It was embarrassing that they were booing him. You know, they went 3-and-out. They ran the ball twice and threw a screen pass on third down, and they got booed off the field. I mean, like, what? And they're chanting for Zappi. It's like, what are we talking about, dude? Like, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong, you know? So, like, the screen pass got blown up. He was 0-for-1 passing, but the screen pass got blown up. What's he supposed to do, right? So, you know, you set him up to fail in that situation, and they've kind of done a lot of that, setting him up to fail. But here's the thing, right? If your quarterback can't handle the fans being pissed at him after a, you know, after Zappe played, came in and played well for 2 weeks. They wanted Zappe to play. Matt came out, didn't look great. You could tell he still was a little hobbled. Then he's getting booed. Well, if he can't handle that, he's not the guy anyways. So, like, you know, that was a big red flag there. And again, I think they screwed him, but that should have been a pretty big red flag for people to say, like, hey, if he can't handle this, this kid isn't going to be the guy, you know?
Exactly. Because, like, even the start last year's start wasn't exactly good. They had the game, they had the close game against Pittsburgh where I believe you'll be there next Thursday, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you'll still be there next Thursday. And then he obviously got hurt in the game against Baltimore where he didn't look terrible, but then there was a couple wonky picks. But then Green Bay game, which you were at, was okay. The Detroit game where we linked up, which, hey,
yep,
they're wearing the same uniform Sunday, so just trying to throw that out into the air. But with this year, though, more than his play, it's just been bad luck everywhere else. Like the fact, too, that how hobbled the best defenders in the team have been and that they've been gone. Your best wide receiver tears his ACL. And when I said earlier that I've kind of accepted it because it was pretty much the Colts game where I was out. I was at a function, but I was still able to watch it. And as soon as the pick happened, that's where I'm kind of like, even the Washington pick and the Colts game, that's where I'm just like, it's done. Because the more I've been hearing this over the last few years, and now I agree with it, I would rather see this team bottom out and be bad than rather constantly be in purgatory. Because when you're in purgatory, it's just putting off the inevitable. Now it's kind of like, it's kind of, I don't want to say scary, but it's kind of like we're truly going into an unknown offseason. I don't think this is like the 2021 offseason where it's, because obviously we talked about this, Pats have a lot of cap money to spend. I believe they're top five. I know them, Chicago and Washington are in the top five.
I think those are the top three, I think.
Those may be.
I might be wrong.
They might be the top three. I know Patriots, I think, are 2, 3, or 4, somewhere in there for cap. So having that plus your draft, it's going to be a very interesting offseason to see not only what happens, but who's there to make it happen.
Right. Well, and that's, I just think for me, you have to look at it and say, you can't keep Belichick. I mean, Bill's the greatest coach of all time. He's the greatest coach of all time. I don't believe that that's up for debate. However, it's been really, really bad lately. And it's been really bad for a long time. And so, you know, you look at the draft. I mean, just look at the draft process, right? And the talent evaluation piece. And not just the talent evaluation, but also the development, right? Like, there are guys that maybe they're not as good, and then you can develop them. The Patriots have done zero development of guys. Zero. Like, guys have not improved. Even Kyle Duggar, who I thought was going to take a big step forward this year, really hasn't. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't taken that next step to be an elite player, right? And so, you know, Tyquan Thornton can't run a route. He can't run a route. He's in his second year. He can't run a route? Like, and if you know he can't do that. And the big thing with Belichick, I think, is that his whole career, the biggest thing about him is that he would find these guys, right? Mike Vrabel and, you know, Ninkovich and all these guys, like these guys that were used in – Kyle Van Noy is another good example. Like guys that were used in situations where they weren't used to the best of their abilities. And Belichick was able to identify their strengths and their weaknesses and allow them to just do things they were good at and not do things they were bad at. And now it seems like he's doing the exact opposite. And I don't know if it's Italian evaluation thing. I don't know if I have no idea. But like Marte Mapu is the case for me. Like you look at Marte Mapu, and again, I think it's the same similar thing with Tyquan. But Marte Mapu should be playing linebacker. He practiced linebacker at the Senior Bowl. He gives you an athletic advantage at linebacker. I understand he's not that big. I get it. But the game is moving away from these big, heavy guys that can, you know, that are like thumpers in the middle. He's a 21st century linebacker. That's what he should be playing. Instead, he's playing deep safety. He doesn't get – now, he has the athleticism to play deep safety if he has to. But he doesn't give you an advantage playing deep safety. He gives you an advantage if he's playing linebacker. And that, to me, is the biggest difference where it's like, can we take advantage of these things that we have that, you know, these guys can really kind of, you know, show what they have? And he hasn't done that. And I think it's time for a change in there. GM wise, it's time for a change, and coaching wise, it's time for a change. And I think they might have to clean house, like completely, like just get rid of all the coaches. Troy Brown 100% needs to go, unfortunately, but they did. They got to just, you got to move on.
I think it's also to all the Belichickian guys are the ones that should kind of go, you know, where it's like, I don't know what you do with the boys, but I feel like the boys just kind of going to follow dad. Basically anyone kind of with that philosophy too, like the Joe Judges, Cam Accord, I think too. The only ones you could potentially, I don't even know who you potentially look at keeping, like if a Gerard Mayo's in there or not. But then when I look at this team too, with the, there's only, when you say you use people that are, they're good skill sets, there's only two players that I can think of that are in that like Belichickian model mold.
Yeah.
And that's Jelani Tavai and Jabril Peppers. Besides those two guys, who else has he really done? And the only other point I want to make is I know everyone keeps saying how they've whiffed on offensive weapons. And there was a tweet recently, and you were agreeing a component on this, but I still, I'm going to say this right now. At the best draft pick since 2020, it's Christian Barmore.
Yeah.
Bar none.
Yeah.
Because someone said, too, it's like, oh, they could have had Amon Ross St. Brown. They could have had this. It's like, no, no, no. Belichick traded up for a reason to go get Christian Barmore. That's something I feel like the football, a lot of outside football minds kind of ignore.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that one, right? The one that he whiffed on was Ronnie Perkins, right? And Ronnie Perkins, who I liked, was a PFF darling. That's the one where
– succeed so bad.
I know. I was like, this kid, he was the only guy with a 90. He was the only down lineman or the only front seven guy with a 90, with a grade above 90 against the run and against the pass. And he can't even get on the field. So I don't understand that one. But that's a situation where, yeah, they should have drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Right? Like, obviously, you know? And so it's just some of those things are difficult because what Bill has done is ignored the positions in the draft, right? You obviously, you draft a wide receiver in the first round in 2019, but like, you draft the wrong wide receiver. Like, you can't miss. You know, we're watching DK Metcalf put on a show tonight against the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
And Nikhil Harry, you know, just got cut by, this year got cut by his second team. So, you know, it becomes a situation like that where you sit there and say, man, how did you pick Nikhil Harry over DK Metcalf? If you wanted a big body guy that could go up and get the ball, how could you ever think Nikhil Harry would be better at that than DK Metcalf? Now, never mind the speed. Forget about the speed. Like,
yeah.
Nikhil Harry couldn't run a route. Do you want to say DK Metcalf can't run a route? Fine. Neither can Nikhil Harry. So, like, what are we talking about? You know, like, and so that I didn't understand that. I thought AJ Brown and DK Metcalf were clearly above Nikhil Harry. Debo, I wasn't 100% sold on. I was wrong about that one, but I wasn't sold about DK. But, like, those two guys, I wasn't sold about Debo, I'm sorry, but those two guys were, I think, were clearly better than Nikhil Harry and didn't get drafted above him. So it's a process situation where, you know, and I've said this before, like Bill is the guy. So like, I don't know. I have no idea what the coaching, what the scouting staff is saying. Is the scouting staff sitting there saying, well, we like AJ Brown? And he says, well, you know, but I like Nikhil. Okay. Well, what are we going to do? You know, like, he makes the final selection, and I have no idea. And the thing is that we'll never know because no one's ever going to say whose pick and all this other crap. Like, no one's ever going to say that. And so we don't know what's going to happen, right? And we don't know what the situation was, but I think at a certain point we have to look at it and say, everything's got to change because it just hasn't been good enough. And again, the last rookie you signed to a second contract was Daron Harmon, who got drafted in 2013. That's the last player that you drafted. I'm sorry, inside the top three rounds. That you drafted inside the top three rounds that have gotten a second contract. And again, the last few years, obviously those guys haven't been up for second contracts yet, but like, and you think Christian Barmore is going to get one. It's possible Ramondre Stevenson will get one, although I don't know about that, but maybe. And so like, so there are some guys that you're like, hey, you know, we're finally starting to hit on some guys, but like, yeah, it hasn't been good enough, obviously.
Like, even this year, too, like, even Keon White hasn't been all what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players out there where it's kind of like, it's time for a change. And the one thing before, because, like, it's not a game, but it's just a thing I want to run through. But it's going to be interesting, too, because obviously I haven't talked about this on the podcast since it's been announced. But obviously, February 16th, we get the Apple documentary on the dynasty. So it's going to be very interesting to see how much information how much information we truly find out from that. Like, you know, the Florida Gator one, everyone was expecting like mischief and mayhem, and it was very watered down and like a fluff piece for Urban. I gotta wonder what that documentary series is going to tell us.
Certainly could be the same thing, right? Could be the exact same thing. Where and I hope it isn't. I hope they get into some of the nitty gritty stuff and they're able to kind of go, but everyone's got to agree to it, right? And when they agreed to it, Bill Belichick was still the head coach of the Patriots. Now, maybe Bill is saying, I'm walking away. I was walking away no matter what. It didn't matter. This is my last year, and I'm retiring. And maybe that's the case. And so maybe Bill says, F it. Like, I'm walking away anyways. Let's do a whole deep dive into it, right? I just don't know if that's going to happen or not. So we'll see. But it is kind of an interesting look into it. By the way, what the hell are these guys doing? They're down by 2 points, and they're kicking the extra point. What are they doing? Doesn't make any sense.
That's the Dallas Cowboys. I was always going to say Dallas was going to win this game, and then Philly loses Sunday so that it sets up next Sunday night beautifully where it's for all the marbles. But the thing I wanted to run down with you, because obviously we were talking about this team with cap space, but there's 21 players that are free agents, and I have the list. So do you think we could just – if
Let's run through it. Yep.
Okay, first up, Hunter Henry, re-sign or walk?
I would like to see Hunter Henry back. It just depends on what the contract looks like. I don't think anyone's going to pay him anything significant, and you don't have a tight end on the roster. So you got to sign someone. I mean, maybe Farrell Brown, but I don't want him as my number one tight end. I would say keep Hunter Henry, obviously, assuming it's a small deal.
Same. Trent Brown?
So this is an interesting one. And I've been not on team Trent Brown for quite a few years at this point now. I'm annoyed with him. I just think whatever. But here's what I'll say about Trent Brown. And this is where I've started to change my tune a little bit. As I start doing the firing out the mock drafts, right, and taking a look at what's there at the top of the draft. Obviously, two really, really good, right, tackles. For those of you that don't know out there, Joe Alt from Notre Dame and Olufoshanu from Penn State. Two really, really good tackles right there at the top of the draft. Really good players. There's also Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Those guys are really good, right? And so the thing is this, right? If I'm the Patriots, I have two pretty good tackles right now. Now, Trent Brown is, you know, a top 10 tackle according to PFF. And I know that's PFF, whatever, but still – by some metrics, he's a top 10 tackle in the NFL. He's been pretty good when he's been healthy. Hasn't always been healthy, but he's been pretty good when he's been healthy. So my thing is that what if you sign Trent Brown and Mike Onwenu, who's on this list too, you sign Trent Brown and Mike Onwenu, and you bring them back as your tackles. And now you don't have to spend a first-round pick on a tackle. You can spend a first-round pick on Caleb Williams or Drake May or Marvin Harrison Jr. if you end up in the top three, right? So that's what I would be looking at if I'm the Patriots, because you have those guys on your roster already. You know who they are. You know what types of players they are. Now, I also understand it could be a new regime. It could be new everyone. But they're still good players, right? And so I might like to keep those guys around instead of, you know, we don't have a quarterback. Right, we don't have a quarterback. If we end up with the number two pick in the draft, we can draft a quarterback at number two instead of drafting, you know, an offensive tackle. So that's kind of where I'm at. And then relying on a second round left tackle to start for you? I don't like that idea. And so, you know, listen, sign Trent Brown to a 2-year, maybe a 3-year deal, right? And go from there, you know. And so, again, will they do it? I don't know, but that's what I would lean towards doing. And that's kind of – I've changed my tune on that as I've started looking at the draft and thinking about what will they do in the draft. I think it just makes sense to keep both those guys around.
By the way, I looked up – so this is on SportTrack. Hunter Henry market value is about 2 years, $15 million contract.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if he got that much. Shocked.
That's just what they're saying.
No, I know. And maybe he will. But I'd just be surprised if he was making $7.5 million. He hasn't done anything this year. He's been, you know, mediocre at best in the run game. hasn't really been super effective in the passing game. Now, no one's been effective in the passing game, so it's not really fair to Hunter Henry to say that. But still, I think you can get him for a two-year, 10. You know, I don't think it's far off. 2 for 10, maybe 2 for 12, maybe. But you know, I wouldn't go much further than that. And I don't think you're going to need to.
Yeah, because that's like even the thing, too, with like that. I don't think there's going to be a huge, huge market out there for him. And then the next guy is the same thing. But it's Kendrick Bourne. He'll be coming off the torn ACL. But ultimately, he's the kind of glue guy I think this locker room needs. Yep. Because ever since he's gotten there, you see more behind the scenes from this team than you ever have before, where he's always posting. He's always vibrant. He's bringing the vibes. He's a good football player. I was honestly, out of any injury we've had this year, that one broke my heart the most just because he was playing so well and on a rebound year. So he's a player, honestly, I would bring him back. I think, you know what, just sign him to a cheap deal, let him do his rehab. Because that's the other thing, too, about it. Is he going to want to go to a new team, or who's going to want to give him money coming off of a significant injury like that?
Yeah. Nah, listen, I couldn't agree more. And I think, too, the injury helps the Patriots' cause here because he's going to get less of a contract than he would have because he's coming off the ACL injury. And so you're able to give him a smaller deal than you would have had to before. By the way, Deron Bland with another interception. Didn't return this one professionally, but another interception to get the Cowboys back.
He's been getting cooked all night, but he's just
he has. You know what? He's Trayvon Diggs. People don't want to admit it. He's Trayvon Diggs. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. Right? They're the same player. And Trayvon Diggs, like, everyone loved that 1 year, and then people kind of figured it out, and he hasn't been that good since. And, you know, he's fine. He's a good player, but he relies on those man-to-man taking chances, and sometimes you're going to get burned when you do that if you do it enough. And, you know, in this case, he's been getting burned all night, but you can get burned all night, and then you turn around and make a play like that, and so now your team's back in it. So, but the Trent Brown, the Kendrick Bourne stuff for me, I think, for me, on the field, number one, and in the locker room, number two, I think that's a guy you want to have on your roster.
One other take about the draft, actually. So 2 weeks ago, Kyrie Thompson was on this take in my head, and I agree with it. I don't want to say there's a multiverse about this, but I think there's a real possibility that this happens. I don't know if it will, though. But Marvin Harrison Jr. being the first overall pick in the draft in April. I think if Arizona gets the pick, I think that's where I think they would be the team to do it.
It could happen. Here's the thing, right? I love Marvin Harrison Jr. I get it, right? And like, so Bob Knight died recently, and, you know, they were talking about, you know, Bobby Knight, and when Portland called them in the 84 draft, I think it was, right? They call him in the 84 draft, and they go, hey, look, who should we draft at number two? Hakeem's going number one. Who should we draft at number two? And he says, Michael Jordan. And they said, well, we need a center. And he goes, yeah, play Michael Jordan at center. It doesn't matter. Like, draft Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of how I feel about Marvin Harrison Jr. He is the best player in the draft, in my opinion. He's 6'4", by the way. Like, he's freaking huge, which is insane because he's so slick and so smooth and so fast that you don't realize that. But he's also 6'4". He's a big dude. Here's the thing. Football is not basketball, right? You can have a great receiver. It don't mean crap if the guy can't get him the ball, right? And so I think, although I understand, and I think that makes sense, I do think ultimately if you're Arizona, okay, and you have the number one overall pick somehow, let's just say it happens somehow, you get the number one overall pick. You have Kyler. You don't want to trade Kyler. You really can't trade Kyler. I mean, I guess you could, but you'd be hamstringing yourself.
That's disgusting. Cap
space, right? So fine. You're not going to draft a quarterback. Well, why don't you just trade that number one overall pick? Look at how much Chicago got for that number one overall pick, right? And again, maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know. But like, and then I would even say trade all those picks and then do what Miami did when Jalen Waddle was out there. They moved back from 3 to 12 and they traded a first round pick to get back to 6 to draft Jalen Waddle. Do the same thing. Move back from 1 to 5 or whatever, or 1 to 6, and then trade a future first round pick to move up to 3 and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I don't mind doing that. I just feel like drafting him number one overall is just like, you don't understand You can't draft a quarterback if you don't have a wide receiver. You can't draft a wide receiver if you don't have a quarterback, in my opinion, right? And that's just my opinion. Caleb Williams, to me, looks like the real deal. He looks like the real deal. It looks like if you have the number one overall pick and you don't take Caleb Williams, you're going to look really stupid lately, you know, later on down. Now, listen, that might blow up in my face, and I know a lot of people feel that way. That might blow up in a lot of people's faces. And we might be sitting here in 4 years talking about Caleb Williams is the biggest bust we've ever seen and so on and so forth, and it didn't work out and this and that. But, like, the way he plays is incredible. And it reminds you of Patrick Mahomes, the way he plays. And so you can't help but get excited when you see a guy be able to create out of structure and have the arm talent that he has. You just – like, man, if you get the number one overall pick and you're not taking Caleb Williams or Drake May, if you love Drake May, I just feel like it's hard to justify, in my opinion.
You just don't want that tone. You don't want to be the Tony Mandridge team of 2024. That's right. Literally what it is.
Yep.
You don't want to be in that because that's what this draft is. The next player for me, this is a simple let walk, and that's Mike Gesicki. Like, he gave us a great moment back in October, but besides that, hasn't done much of anything, so I think that's you let him walk.
So the interesting thing about Gesicki is that I do think that he has some stuff that it's just not being used very well. But then again, I believe that. But then I also look at it and say, well, yeah, but they said the same thing in Miami for years, and they could never really get the full potential out of him either in Miami. So, like, are you ever actually going to get that full potential out of him? I just don't know. So it could just be a Mike Gesicki problem, and he's just not as good as people think he is, you know? And I think that might be as simple as that, you know?
Exactly. And then up next, Jalen Mills.
That's a tough one. I probably would let Jalen Mills walk. I guess it depends on, you know, who else they're able to retain, but Jalen Mills to me is fine, but he's not a game breaking player. And CeeDee Lamb just dropped a fourth down pass right in his friggin' hands, dude. But he's not a great game-breaking player to me, you know. And so I like him. He's a good player, but ultimately it is what it is. And I think he's one of those ones where if you let him walk, it's fine. If you keep him, you're keeping him on a short money deal because you like him in the locker room and you like what he can give you from time to time. But you really haven't seen him on the field much this year. So I just feel like it's unlikely he'll be back.
And then Zeke?
No, I mean, I don't know. Why? Like, why are you re-signing Zeke? You know, like, what you should be doing is drafting a young running back, and either you're going to re-sign Ramondre to an extension because you love the guy and you think he's a dominant player and, you know, whatever, fine, or you're drafting a guy to try to take over for him. Zeke just doesn't – I mean, Zeke is fine. He's a good player, but he's replaceable. You can get that guy. Look at Zach Moss out in Indy. Like, you can get that guy off of waivers, you know, that no one wants. And so I like him. I think he's been a good leader in the locker room from all accounts. It sounds like that, but, like, I'm not tripping over myself to re-sign him.
The next player on this list is I don't even want to comment on it because I feel like it's the end of his playing days, and that's everyone's favorite special teamer, Matthew Slater. I feel like this is his swan. It's very disappointing that he's going out with this kind of season.
Yeah, you just feel like he won't be back. I mean, I don't know. He could be. The guy's still insanely athletic. It's ridiculous, but you find it hard to believe that he's going to be back next year.
That's just it. You just find it hard to believe.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this next player comes back in Miles Bryant, you're going to blow a gasket. So there's that.
You know what? Honestly, I'll tell you, I've come around on Miles Bryant because I have. And here's why I've come around on Miles Bryant. Not because he's good, because he's not. But, like, the guy works his tail off, man. And he's prepared. And he can only do what he can do. Right? He's been put in some real crappy situations. I mean, you talk about a team putting a guy in a crap situation. Miles Bryant had to play way too much last year. Way too much. He was playing out of position. He was playing in spots where he should have never been playing. And when you get him one-on-one against guys, of course he's going to get smoked because he's Miles Bryant. He's not that good. But if he's your fourth or fifth corner, well, like, he's not that bad. You know, he's not great, but he's a good depth piece who at least is going to be in the right spot. Like, he's reliable enough that he's going to be in the right position. And that, to me, is enough where I can sit there and say, okay, he's deserving of at least, you know, a contract, just to say, like, hey, we like what you bring to the team. We like what you bring to the locker room. You know, we can bring him back now with a new coaching staff. Maybe not. But he's a guy that, you know, I hated for a long time simply because he was just – and I realized that I just hate him because he's out of position. It's not his fault. He's just not that good, you know. And so if he's your fifth corner, fine.
Kyle Duggar?
Yeah, you got to resign. I mean, you have to. You've built this defense as that, like, hybrid, like, you know, amoeba defense, right, where it's like – the Celtics did this positionless basketball. You're doing positionless defense. Kyle Duggar is the poster child for that. You have to re-sign him. At this point, you have to. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, you don't have a choice, I think, in my opinion. There's a few guys you don't have a choice on. He's one of them. You have to bring him back.
It's literally as simple as that. He's one of the guys that he can be a corner. You can do a cornerstone of a defense with Christian Barmore, Jabril Peppers, yeah, and Kyle Duggar. You can kind of have those three guys be – you know, the new, I'm not going to say to the caliber, but like what we saw throughout the years from like Vince Wilfork, Dante Hightower, Devin McCourty, not from a playing standpoint, because all three of those guys were pillars to championships.
Right.
Except for Vince, unfortunately. But you need those for leadership perspectives. Because I say this, you're only as good as what you, as the leadership you have off the field as you are on the field. So that's that's a big dynamic with all this. And then a fun one here is Josh Uche, who I think is gone, but it's like, I believe last time it was you, McGarvin, and I, where he literally said he's going to go to a team that uses him right, and it's going to be one of those. Why didn't you do that with him when you realize, hey, if you let Josh Uche get after the quarterback, he wreaks havoc?
Who?
Josh Uche.
Who's that? Ooh. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, a month and a half. Guy's disappeared. Disappeared. And I don't listen, we could talk about, oh, get after the quarterback and this. They've asked him to get after the quarterback. Can't do it. Can't do it. If you put two guys on him, he's toast. He's toast. He hasn't done anything. He's created zero pressure. The guy, honestly, he was angling for a big contract, and he's looked awful. He's looked awful. And so to me, it's like, man, I'm sorry, dude. Like, I don't want anything to do with that guy. And maybe he will put up numbers. But to me, when Judon went out, he disappeared. As soon as there was no one else to look at on the other side, and he was the main guy, see you later, he was done. Toast. And so, and look, again, maybe they're putting him in positions that you know, and I don't know. I haven't looked into the tape deep enough to really see it. But I haven't seen him around the ball at all. I haven't seen him doing anything. I haven't seen him. And I know he's battled injury a little bit here and there, right? But like, the guy, I mean, if you want, you're talking about shelling out, you know, probably if you're talking about a legit edge rusher, $10 to $15 million at least a year, there's no chance I'm paying him that. No chance. Nope. And so, you know, so he walks and, yeah, maybe he'll be an RA player somewhere else, but I don't know. He's never going to be that guy that's like, oh my God, we have to really worry about this guy. I don't think so, at least not from what I've seen this year.
That's it. And then the last player is Michael Wenu. There's a lot of other players, but those are like the ones of significant consequence. But I'll say this. So the best part so far with this offensive line that struggled, which I feel like center's going to have to get addressed in the offseason, because I think David Andrews, I can see him retiring at the end of the year. But the right side of the line is solid with So and Owenu. So has been – probably So and Douglas have been the two best rookies this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ignoring Gonzo for obvious reasons. Of course, just like, yeah. He only played like – three and change games, but So and Douglas have been the two best draft picks this year so far.
For sure. And Sidy So is a guy they drafted to be a tackle, right? And they started him out of tackle and they played him a tackle. And this is where you deserve, like, so we, of course, I shit all over the Patriots coaching staff, right? At the beginning of the podcast, but now this is where you got to give them credit, because they finally figured out maybe we should put Mike Onwenu at right tackle. And Sidy So is really good at guard. Let's just put him at guard. Let's see what happens. And so I think actually it happened because Onwenu was hurt. And so they didn't have a choice. They had to put So at guard, and they were like, wow, he looks pretty good. And then when Onwenu came back, they said, So's kind of coming into his own at right guard. Let's leave him at right guard, and then we can bump Onwenu at right tackle. And Onwenu looked fantastic at right tackle. And I want, and Stoics looks really good at right guard, right? And so it hasn't been all perfect, obviously, but I think you found something there with those two, right? And so for me, yeah, I think that's great. And I think keep, just for the love of God, why, like, what do we, don't mess with that. You have Mike Onwenu. He's playing really well at right tackle. You got a right guard next to him. Just freaking re-sign him, please. Like, don't let him walk too. Like, you let Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason and Ted Karras, you let all these guys walk. And, you know, then you had, your cover was bad and you had no one. So, you know, keep him around. And I think that that will be really helpful for them.
That's just the thing. Like, you have a good thing going. Don't let it go just because of the price tag. Because, like, how we were talking about cap space, but this year I feel like it's so much different than 21, because 21 is, hey, you can go out and get who you want to bring in and replace all these players. Meanwhile, this year it's about paying these guys to stay and also to extend as well. Because, look, like we said, Ramondre Stevenson probably going to get an extension, which I would do there is re-sign Ramondre and then probably try to get someone in, like, round three or even, you know, round four where Ramondre was taken to ultimately replace him, as DK Metcalf just gets a hat trick of touchdowns on the night.
Another one, dude.
I know I'm going up against him in fantasy. I'm not really happy
How about this? I'm in a guillotine league, which I don't know if you know what a guillotine league is, but mm-hmm. I'm in, by the way, completely the wrong idea to kick the field goal, but nevertheless, I'm in a guillotine league. And so a guillotine league is a team, the lowest team gets knocked out every week. And then all of their players become free agents. And it's like the free agency is all blind bids. So you have $1,000 for the year and you got to put in bids for the players. But of course you don't know who's bidding on who, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So we're up again. Now it's week 13. Right. And so I've survived and it's with a few buddies at school. So I've survived in this and that, whatever. Right. So one of my buddies bid on DK and got him this week, paid like a decent amount, 30, 35 bucks or whatever. Cause it's getting towards the end. No one's got a ton of money left. Right. Because it's week 13.
Yeah.
Paid a good amount of money for him, has him. So I'm like, oh my God, DK's killing it tonight. Unbelievable. I go to the live scoring to see. He didn't check his lineup. He forgot to put him in.
Oh my God.
Bro, he's sitting on his bench. It's a full PPR league, dude. I'm texting with him now. He's like, oh my God. He's like, it's a full PPR league right now. DK Metcalf has 37.4 points, dude. And he's sitting on this kid's bench, dude.
Good.
And it's like, and I'm sitting there like, Lord. Oh my God, what an absolute nightmare. So, by the way, if I were the Seahawks in that situation, so Seahawks scored, and this is semantics, this is math and whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe the analytics disagree with me here. You're up seven. You just scored a touchdown to go up seven. You kick the extra point to go up eight, fine. I would have gone for two. You're already up seven. Whatever, dude. Go for two. If you go for two, you're up two scores.
And here's the other thing with that as well. If you worst case scenario, you don't get it. Hey, you're up by a touchdown. Best case scenario, you get it. You're up by nine. And that really puts Dallas into a predicament.
Correct.
It's not good for them.
Yep.
With New England, though, before we go back to the head coaching situation, I've always fumbled with the idea of should they go for free agency for quarterback or should they go for rookie quarterback? I'm more sold on the rookie quarterback now just because, like, look, you reset the clock and also bringing in a free agent is just too costly. And I feel like if right now the Patriots were, let's say, if they were 5-6 right now, you know, mm-hmm. or 5-7, they do that, it's fine. You know, hey, they have the year, they go 8-9 again, they go 7-10, it is what it is. But the fact that they're so low, and I feel like because you're in a spot where hopefully you aren't again, that this is like a one-season blip. I'm not trying to say that the Patriots are going to be this great team next year, but
right.
Hey, they're a team next year that they have no expectation to play with.
Yep.
And also, too, they're playing with house money for next regular season. So if you do that, it's like, hey, great.
Yeah.
With you, what is the rookie quarterback you're eyeing the most?
So it's a good question. So just because you mentioned the draft, possibly signing a guy, right? To me, Kirk Cousins was that guy. And, you know, so he tears his Achilles. I don't know if he's going to be back for week one. You can't rely on that guy, right? if you had a top five pick, now you're talking about possibly getting Marvin Harrison Jr., bringing him into that offense. You bring in a quarterback and you draft a quarterback in the second or third round and kind of see if you can develop them, right? Sign Kirk Cousins to a 2-year deal or whatever the case may be. So anyways, the guy for me is Caleb Williams. That's the guy. He's the guy. He's number one on my list. I just think, again, like, he's got all of the traits. Are some of the things a little wonky? Sure. Do I wish he played, you know, better in some big games? Sure. But, like, it's all there. It's there. You can see it. Now, like, Josh Allen couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat when he came into the league, right? But he had these talent, these skills that you just can't teach, the physical traits that he had. You can't teach what Caleb Williams has. You can't. Now, you can coach him up to become better than he is right now, but you can't teach some of the stuff that he can do. So to me, I look at it and think, all right, like, get Caleb Williams in here. And, you know, and that's the number one guy for me. Now, again, I don't know if that will work out, but that's the number one guy. I like Drake May too. I haven't watched a ton of Drake May, but, you know, it looks pretty good. Michael Penix Jr. is fine. He's not, he doesn't have quite, he has a really good arm, which is interesting because he's a lefty. So a lot of people think like he doesn't have a good arm, but he does. But he's not, he doesn't have the athletic ability that a guy like Caleb Williams has, right? So, like, yeah, he's good, but he's not like, oh my God, this guy's incredible, right? So Caleb Williams is that guy. He comes in, changes your franchise day one, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that for me, those are the guys I'm betting on. I love Jaden Daniels too. I think he's a really interesting guy. I don't know how well he sees the field. That's the problem that I have with him. I don't know how well he sees the field in the middle of the field. He's able to make some really nice downfield throws. He has a great deep ball. He throws the ball well down the field. I don't know how well he reads the middle of the field. And we've seen with Justin Fields. And look, you can put guys in situations, right? I think that Lamar early in his career struggled to see the ball down the middle of the field, and he's gotten much better at that. And he was such a good runner that it kind of, you know, it balanced out. And so you have to use him in a way that makes that possible. But I don't know. I don't hate the idea of taking a guy like Jaden Daniels. I'm not taking him in the top 10, but I would trade back into the first round like they did for Lamar Jackson for him. Fine. I'll take a guy at, you know, say I take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, and then I trade 35 or whatever I think, you know, assuming that they're still at 3, I trade 35 and go from there. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. You know, and I draft him at, you know, 29 or 27 or whatever, but I'm not taking him in the top 10. You know, so, but it really, to me, it's Caleb Williams. And then there's a bunch of other guys, but to me, it's that's the number one guy on the list.
Like, for example, Bo Nix, I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole. I'm not touching Bo Nix with a 10-foot pole. The other one, Carson Beck's probably going to stay in school. I don't know if you saw that today, but getting a goofy amount of money to stay at Georgia for another year. My other thing is, look, Drake May has the talents, but it's kind of that, like, Bo Nix and Drake May kind of land in that, like, weird, they could be a Daniel Jones territory where you don't know exactly what you're going to get. I like Michael Penix Jr. personally, but I just don't, not for the Patriots. And then Jaden Daniels, I like him, but I do not like him at 3. I will say that right now. If the Patriots were picking 10, 11, or 12, yeah, you take that shot. You do not take it within the top 5, because if you look at this draft realistically from a top 5 standpoint, it should go a combination of May or Williams, depending on what you want, then Maserati Marv,
mm-hmm.
And then I, you said it earlier, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name, the tackle from Penn State. Oh, like
that's
who Chicago's probably going to take with their second pick, probably if they land at 4 or 5. And then Washington's kind of the weird wild card, but I feel like you'd probably go Joel Alt considering how bad that offensive line is in Washington. So we'll have to wait and see, but with this team overall, like, I agree with everything you were saying there. And then Jaden Daniels, you know what? My only fear with trading back in the first round of draft, Tim, would be teams that the Patriots are calling are going to know right away what their ideas are. So they would try to probably get them to give up a little bit more than they should. you know, kind of like what the Bears did in 2017 to jump up to get Trubisky. That's my only worry. But at the same time, too, if, I don't know, David Tepper gives us 33 to go get Bill Belichick, then it's a bit of a different story. So we'll have to wait and see ultimately what happens there. And then with Bill Belichick, if you were to pick his replacement right now, I don't want to ask for like a certain guy, but is there like a top three you're kind of brewing with on who you could potentially do it? Because I don't think it's going to be as big as what it is to replace Tom Brady, but it's still going to be very big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are guys. So, by the way, one guy I forgot to mention was Shedeur Sanders. Love Shedeur. Huge, 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 huge Shedeur Sanders fan. But I just don't think he's coming out this year. I don't think his dad's going to let him walk when he's probably going to be a second round pick at best. And so, you know, maybe they'll say, oh, you could be a top 10 pick. But I don't think Shedeur is going to get up to that level. So I think he probably stays in school one more year. He's got Travis Hunter there at Colorado for one more year. So you stay for one more year, you come out and you try to be make yourself a top 5 to 10 pick next year when you have an offensive line and you can get some more guys in or whatever. So, but
exactly.
as far as replacing Belichick, what I don't want is a cast off. What I don't want is a retread. I don't want a guy. Don't give me someone that's been a head coach in the NFL before. I don't freaking care. I don't want one of those guys. I don't need them. I don't want them. I think it's stupid. Don't give me one of those guys. Right? Friggin' Frank Reich, who got hired in Carolina. Like, what are you doing? That's stupid. So to me, it's a guy like Ben Johnson. Right? It's give me a forward thinking offensive coordinator, or give me a forward thinking defensive coordinator if you want, right? DeMeco Ryans is killing it right now in Houston because he's a forward thinker. He brought in a good offensive coordinator with him, and they're running the team that they want to run. I think that that's a good idea. Bring in a guy that is unproven, and that's a little dangerous. I get it. It's a little dangerous, but you got to trust your gut. If you're Robert Kraft, you have to trust yourself. You've been around football long enough to be able to understand when a guy knows what he's doing and when a guy's a snake oil salesman and doesn't know what he's doing, right? So, like, find a guy that knows what he's doing. Try to bring him in and see what you can do, right? You could end up with Matt Eberflus, which obviously wouldn't be ideal. You could end up with DeMeco Ryans, right? So to me, the guy is Ben Johnson, but I don't know if, you know, there's already been smoke that Carolina wants Ben Johnson. And, you know, he then has, I don't know how he feels about Bryce Young, right? So, like, does he love Bryce Young as his quarterback? And if he doesn't, then he doesn't want to go there, right? If you're the Patriots and you somehow get into the number one pick, which I think is possible, I think that, you know, Carolina now with they get the interim bump, if you somehow pull off two wins at Carolina and you have the strength of schedule right now over Arizona, if you don't win another game, you're drafting number two, right? The only reason the Patriots are number three right now is because they've played less games. So they have less losses, right? So
Arizona has another bye yet.
Right, exactly. And so if you don't win another game and Carolina wins two, you get the number one pick in the draft, right? And so if you get the number one pick in the draft, all of a sudden, now the coach that walks in gets to take whoever he wants. You know, hey, take the quarterback of the future. You're tied to that guy. So you have a few years to develop this guy after you draft him, right? There you go, right? And so to me, I think that that's what you could do. I like Ben Johnson, but again, just give me a 21st century coach. Give me someone that's thinking outside the box, that's forward thinking, that's revolutionizing the game, that understands what's happening right now. That's what I want.
I know Matt Eberflus has come under a lot of criticism as head coach, but what he's done with that Chicago Bears defense is next to remarkable. He's done very, very well with the Bears defensively
recently.
I don't want like a rehash head coach either. Like someone where it's like, oh, it's a second chance. He's coming in, kind of like what we saw, you know, when the Giants tried to make Pat Shurmur work, where we all knew it wasn't going to work. Or, like what was the other one? Vance Joseph was never head coach. Like how there's certain guys. The other guy that comes to mind for me is Bobby Slowick down in Houston right now, but I don't know if they're going to give him up.
But it makes sense. Slowick makes sense because. Yeah. You know, they just hired DeMeco Ryans. You know, if they're keeping him on, they're keeping him on as the offensive coordinator. They might be able to give him a bump and say, hey, we'll give you some extra money. to stay as the offensive coordinator, but they can't say, well, you're going to take over eventually. That doesn't – no, you're not, right? And he may say,
no,
I want to stick around and you know, be with C.J. Stroud and be with D'Amico Ryans and do this. But, like, I don't know. I feel like every guy wants his shot, and that could be a shot, you know?
Because even another guy who's done really well this year as a head coach from a forward-thinking perspective, I feel like has been very under the radar, too, is Shane Steichen. I'm not saying, like, obviously they're going to lure him away from Indy, but I just wanted to throw out another example of, like
– right.
The Colts are 6-5 right now with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and they beat us in one of the most boring games of the year. So,
yeah,
take the credit with what it's due. The only head coach that I would want the rehash I would consider is Mike Vrabel. Besides that, no. Just I only say Vrabel just because of the connection to the team, but at the same time, too, I feel like that could be more bad than good.
Yeah, I can see that. I just like how are they playing right now? They're not playing that great right now. They're playing okay, but they're not playing that great right now. I don't know if I'm sold on the idea of Mike Vrabel being the head coach here. I like Vrabel a lot, but I don't know. And then you got to give up something to get him. I don't love that idea. But I get it. But I don't love the idea.
Mine is in the world if he's fired more than in the world.
And that I can see. If he's fired, fine. Right? I can see that. But right, if you're trying to get him away from Tennessee or something like that, I just
No. This is in a he gets fired from the Tennessee Titans world, not a trade to get him. Because it's like Belichick, I still think that he's not getting fired, mutual parting ways. It's gonna be what happened with Sean Payton where look, he's walking away from the team, but at the same time, too, the Patriots are going to have to get something to give him up. Yeah. That's what I think is going to happen there.
I agree. Unless he wants to retire.
That's the other thing, too. You know? He very well could just walk off into the sunset. Obviously, he wants to break Shula, but at the end of the day, what team out there would realistically give him the chance to break Shula? Maybe L.A. besides that, because Washington, if they were to trade for him, I can't see it. Carolina, who... honestly, who knows? I doubt he would want to work for David Tepper because I know all owners have their micromanaging that they kind of do, but David Tepper's the one that's really out there. And I'm sorry, but him blatantly shouting fuck outside of the locker room was a cry for attention. That's not him being mad. That was, right. Oh, someone's going to hear me and I'm going to get attention. And this is going to be like that. That was just him being.
You know, maybe he sits down with David Tepper and says, look, sure. You want me to be your coach? I'll be your coach. If you get in my way, I'm walking. You get in my way and I'm walking. And you can friggin' take, you traded a first round pick or whatever he traded for me. I don't care. I'm walking away. I also don't know if Carolina will do it only because they don't have any draft picks. They get no draft picks, right? They traded their first round pick this year. They traded their second round pick next year. They don't have any picks to trade, right? I mean, I guess you could trade your first-round pick next year, but now you're talking about you've traded your two – you have drafted a young quarterback, right? And you've traded, what, 2024 and 2025 first-round picks, and you've also traded a 2025 second-round pick, and now you got no talent around your young quarterback. That's not a good idea, you know?
Here's my other thing with it, too, is just I only say it like, mainly joking because I know how stubborn David Tepper is as an owner because of everything that obviously has gone on this week, which we don't have to get into details on. But
right. I think Washington, by the way, I think Washington makes a ton of sense because new owner, they want to make a splash. It's like it's an old franchise, right? Like it would be a cool place for him to work. They're going to change the logo. They're going to change the name. They're going to do all that crap. Like, I think that would be close to Annapolis where he grew up. Like, to me, that makes the most sense. And they have draft picks that they can trade. So, like, you know, you're probably not getting their first round pick in 2024, but you probably get their, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to get their first round pick in 2025. And now the Patriots can say, okay, you know, we'll see how they, I mean, maybe they're good and who knows, but whatever, you're getting a first round pick. You're not getting a top five pick for any coach. I don't care. Like, you're not getting a top five pick. And so, you know, but you get a 2025 first round pick from them. And I say, okay, fine. Yep. Okay. Let's do that. And he can go off to Washington and hopefully be successful and break Shula's record and kind of go from there. I think Kraft wanted to keep him and he wanted him to break the record here. It's just not, you need a fresh start. You need a fresh start here. And I don't see how Bill Belichick could be the head coach here next year.
It's headed for divorce, and it's only going to get uglier before it gets better.
Agreed.
With this team, though, I already look – like, with this team, like, I know a lot of teams have short-term outlooks, but for the Patriots – and I'll say this, too. I'd rather be a Pats fan right now than a Bills fan, where you're supposed to be the cream of the crop and you're 500 at
so
the beginning of December.
It's glorious.
100% is. But with this team long-term, I look at them where it's, like, 24 – even if you're not, you're still picking in the top 15 of the draft, be remotely competitive. Like, if next year is a 6-win year, I'll be like, okay with it. I know we've come a long way, and there's a lot of people out there right now that are going to be hearing this being like, oh my God, he's saying this. But at the same time, too, you have to be realistic. So if next year is like 6-11 or 7-10 or 8-9, all the power to them. And then 25 yeah. or 26, I think is like by 26, I think they have to be back in the playoff mix. That's my honest to God opinion.
To me, it just depends on what you do, right? If you draft a rookie quarterback and you struggle next year because your rookie quarterback isn't that great, okay, I get it, right? 1 year, and then he's got to be better the next year, right?
Yeah.
The thing is that this defense is still performing well, and all of their players are hurt, right? They're all hurt. And so, like, the fact that they're still doing well with all those guys hurt, I mean, when Christian Gonzalez comes back healthy and Matthew Judon, who I can only assume will be back next year. So when Matthew Judon and Christian Gonzalez and Christian Barmore and when all these guys are playing together on defense, and Kyle Duggar and whatever, right? All these guys, that's a top 10 defense in the NFL, right? They're still a fringe top 10 defense in the NFL, which is crazy, right? So that's the thing for me where I look at it and just say, all right, that was my argument this year, was get me a mediocre offense, a competent offense, and we're going to win a decent amount of games, right? Again, they've allowed 62 points in the last 4 weeks, 62, and they haven't won a single friggin' game. And so you're talking about giving up an average of 15 points a game and not winning. And so that becomes a situation where you say, Jesus Christ, like with a halfway decent offense, they'd be in – now, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they'd be in the playoff picture, right, on the fringe of the playoff picture with a mediocre offense. Their offense is just so bad that you can't even compete with it. And so if you can – they're not that far off. They're really not, which is crazy to say, but they're really not that far off from being an okay team. I'm not talking about competing for a championship. I'm talking about being an okay team. They're not that far off from doing that. And so if you get the guy and you hit on a few picks this year – that changes your outlook. And now you look at it and say, okay, now we can compete in 2 years and really compete for, maybe the AFC East and maybe more,
Because with this team right now, and also too, I'll say this right now, for the long-term outlook, I like the Patriots a lot better than I like the Jets, because I know everyone's like, oh, the Jets, this. I'm sorry, but the Jets have virtually handicapped themselves to a quarterback that, like, I don't know why he would pull. I know he's practicing and all this stuff, but I just don't know why he would play. And then Buffalo, we don't know what the hell's going on there. I think this year's a write-off for them. And that's another team where I'll say this. I don't know what to think. Because he just signed a contract extension this offseason, but then the fans seem fed up with Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
So it's this weird, like, rock in a hard place where it's like, you got us here, but at the same time, too, it's you got to bring in someone with that killer instinct, and it seems like McDermott lacks it.
Yeah, they just haven't done it. Yeah,
and then Miami is I don't know if Miami's success is going to be like if they're going to be a 5 to 10 year dynasty. I feel like they'll be a 5 to 10 year like very competitive team, always in that playoff mix, but we don't know what's going to happen there. And then if New England can be a shell of what Jacksonville has become, so say if the year they drafted Trevor Lawrence, they weren't good. Obviously, that was coaching. But if by like 25 or 26, hey, they catch lightning in a bottle and they right. start winning some games that they don't expect to win, and it's holy crap, look at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's okay. Like, I look at 24 as a year where I'm like, okay, 23, I'm going to enjoy every game left, because obviously once football is gone, it's gone for a very long time.
Right.
24 is please be tolerable.
Right.
Give me 17 games where I'm not going to either laugh or
100%
use medical assistance to get myself through it. Yes, right. I admit that on air. and then 25 is, hey, try to be competitive and, you know, play with the big dogs of the NFL.
Right. But I mean, I think it's a good plan, right? You that's what you want, right? Give yourself a few years. Let's see if you can, you know, let's see what you can do and how competitive you can be. And look, it's not, we're not talking about competing for championships anytime soon, but I do think when you look at the long-term outlet, you're not wrong. Like, imagine being a Bills fan. Imagine being a Bills fan. The Patriots suck. They have dominated you for 20 years and they finally suck. And now, after all this time, it's your time. It's your time. And you're not even the best team in your division. And right now, you might not even make the playoffs. Imagine if they don't make the playoffs. So that's the thing for me where I'm like, man, being a Bills fan's got to be tough, dude. And they're going through it right now. They're going through it right now. And they don't have an easy schedule coming through the rest of the way. So they can still make the playoffs. It's still possible to make the playoffs. But it becomes tricky to kind of sit there and say, I don't know if they're going to or not. So that's it's interesting. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Miami's really good. Miami's good. And the Jets have a really good defense. And so if the Jets have a good defense and, you know, Miami plays the offense that Miami has, look, I mean, I can see it. I can see it where Miami can do it, you know, and be that good. But we'll see.
I just look at Buffalo right now. It's like you've done too many mistakes. Because if you look at Buffalo, who they've – because, like, from their Jacksonville game, obviously, look, they're another team decimated by injuries. But nearly losing to Tyrod Taylor for them, inexcusable. Almost having the Tampa Bay Buccaneers throw a Hail Mary on you.
I know. Yeah.
And then you also – here's other kickers as well for them. You lost to the Patriots. You lost to the Broncos, which I have not mentioned this on air, but I'll mention this right now. But a Bills podcaster named Joe Miller offered me his tickets. He was out of town for business work. Offered me his tickets for that game. I couldn't make it because of work, but I could have been there for the Broncos game. And then, and then last, like, after the Jets game, I'm like, hey, they're back. And then Philly pulled a rabbit out of their ass and found a way to beat them. So I'll say this right now. Their games, like, if you look at their schedule coming up, instead of looking at their games coming up, because we know it, how funny would this be? New Year's Eve, Patriots and Bills in Orchard Park. Buffalo has to win to get in, but New England somehow finds a way to either make it competitive or F's around and beats them, and that's what's their ultimate dagger. That's something I feel like I could ride off into the postseason, like being like, we eliminated the Bills from the playoff contention. That's just a random, very dark thought I just thought of.
Right. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, that's funny stuff, man. It's funny stuff to think about. And so, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I go back and forth on kind of where it goes, but look, I would love to. I'd love to do it. So it would be fun, you know. Let's eliminate some teams. Let's be some spoiler. Let's be a spoiler. Maybe 1 week. The hard thing is that you don't want to look back and say, shoot, like, you know,
playing spoiler something costs we shouldn't have.
Right. Like the Jets. Think about the Jets in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't win the last game of the season, they get Trevor Lawrence. Instead, they end up with Zach Wilson. So, like, you know, it's a big difference. It's a big difference.
Versus Tim Boyle is going to set football back to like 1950.
Oh my God. So far. It's going to be unbelievable. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
And then I got to ask you, week 15, obviously getting flexed out of Monday Night Football, it sucks. But from a person, like, you're at every single Pats game. Like,
yep.
I don't know what to happy. Well, I mean, you don't have to get home from school early.
Monday Night Football, to see you.
Like, I would have loved to have been on Monday Night Football, but at the same time, too, I'm just like, either the Patriots are really that bad, or they're just like, they know it's going to be bad, like, from an ass-whooping standpoint, to where it's just like, we got to get this game out of here.
So the few reasons, right? Number one, the Patriots are playing three straight primetime games.
And I don't think that Christmas Eve one is a flex either because it's NFL Network. It's not NBC.
Well, it's too late anyway. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you can flex that one out. So,
yeah.
Because it's Sunday night. Although, I guess, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Either way, they're probably not going to flex that one out. Yeah. You don't need the Patriots three straight weeks. You just don't. I'm sorry. You don't need it.
Nope.
And so, you know, it becomes that situation. So I get it. From that perspective, I understand, like, you don't need the Patriots three straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good right now. And I understand taking the Monday night game. Now, of course, people are like, it's the first one ever. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you've literally been able to do it for 5 weeks. Like, it's like, come on, you know? So, but yeah. And by the way, the fact that they changed it, we're talking, it's 2.5 weeks away. And they changed it. That's insane to me. Like, I can see changing it a month out because the Thursday night game, you have to do it a month in advance. This one is like 2 weeks, which is insanity. I mean, there was a guy, I've already seen someone on Twitter. A guy is like, I paid $900 for my trip. I was going to fly in. I was flying in Sunday morning and I'm flying out Tuesday morning. And now what? I'm just going to lose all my money. And I guess theoretically, maybe you can change your flight or whatever the case may be. Maybe he can work some things around. But either way, it's like, dude, there are people that are trying to go to this game that are coming in on Sunday. And now the game's at 1 o'clock. Even if they had played at 4 o'clock on Sunday, just make it a 4 o'clock game on Sunday. Because if you had done that, if someone's coming in on Sunday morning, they can still make the 4 o'clock game on Sunday. The 1 o'clock game is impossible to make.
I was shocked that they didn't make it 4:25. I don't know what the big matchup is that week. Obviously, they announced the slate for that Saturday night, which I'll say this right now. That Detroit-Denver game is going to be a fun one to watch on that Saturday night, week 15. But I'm gonna look it up right now just because I want to see if there's any like – okay, so there's only one matchup week 15 in the 4:25 slot. I think this is why, and that is Buffalo and Dallas. That's going to have the premier slot on – I assume Fox, but that's the game that's kind of I get it now. But no, with
one Steelers Colts, it looks like is playing. I meant on the Sunday. Yeah. So you have Cowboys Bills. Oh, that's Thursday. That's Saturday. I'm sorry. You got Cowboys Bills, Commanders Rams, 49ers Cardinals. So I get it, but like, give us. I just feel like it was stupid. What are we doing 1 o'clock? I mean, I don't know. Whatever, it is what it is. It's fine, but I didn't get it, you know. And it's clearly the NFL just doesn't give a shit about the fans. They don't care. They don't care about the fans. It doesn't matter. So,
but I'll say this as well. I feel like they won't ever change a Thursday night game because of the player safety aspects. Because it's too much. But then also, I feel like I always get weirded out by these guys with the big ass helmets in Dallas, the super fans there. But with the changing Thursday, though, more than screwing up the fans, because you're really screwing them up, it's more or the less just a general, like, you're going to get bad backlash because if things change. So I feel like Thursday nights won't ever change. I feel like Sunday to Monday is the easier one.
At least if you have a month. If you have a month, you can maybe figure some things out, right? But, like, if you're talking about 2 weeks, like, it's 2 weeks away. Some people can't. You know, some people can't do anything in 2 weeks. So, you know, it is what it is. So it's silly. But anyways, as Dallas takes over again, by the way, I have a $5 bet. So FanDuel does a $5 same game parlay like every Thursday night where it's just free. If you lose, you get the money back. So I have this like ridiculous one. It was like, it was Jake Ferguson touchdown.
Just happened.
CeeDee Lamb touchdown. Over 40.5, Dak Prescott over 10.5 rushing yards, and Cowboys -3.5. So I tease some of those things down, obviously, right? But like, but it's like $5 to win like 75. And so far, all of them have hit except Cowboys -3.5. And I'm like, well, now the Cowboys taking over up 3. They don't need to score any points. So I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, just get in a field goal range or something. Like, or like have Pollard break off a long run or something. So I also, in that guillotine league that I was telling you about, I also I went back and forth about tight end, and I dropped Jake Ferguson today and picked up Evan Ingram. And Jake Ferguson, 6 for 77 and a touchdown. So not ideal, not the way you wanted to start. I do have Dak, who's got almost 30 points, so at least I have that going for me. But losing out, losing, you know, 20 points from my tight end is not ideal, not ideal.
Luckily, I'm going in like another league. I have Smith and Jigbo's got 13, and then I'm going up against Tyler Lockett and Cook. So it's all a thing. It's just the one league that I'm actually have a chance at winning. I'm playing the guy that has Metcalf, so I'm just like, crap.
Oh, CeeDee, go. Come on, CeeDee. In field goal range, baby. Let's go. Let's go. I need it.
Get the wheels going. 3.5.
So,
do it. 3.5 for Pat. We love it. But
the problem is, though, now it's the 2-minute warning, so they don't even have to kick a field. Well, I guess they could kick a field goal. You're not going to just go for it on fourth down. You could just kneel the ball out and then kick the field goal and go up six.
Before we go, though, honest prediction for Sunday. Anyways. What do you think is going to happen?
All right, here's what's crazy. You ready for this?
Okay.
I think the Patriots are going to win Sunday because here's why I think the Patriots are going to win Sunday, for no logical reason whatsoever. I think the Patriots are terrible. I think the Patriots. Not that they want to lose, but I think that they also understand that they probably don't need to win, right? I think the Chargers are the worst coach team in the NFL. Brandon Staley is a friggin' joke. And I think that now that we've all accepted the Patriots stink, and we've all kind of accepted the fact that they're tanking and they're not going to do well, this is the game where like, oh – just kidding. We're going to play really well, and we're going to get a pick six on defense, and Ramondre is going to run for 2 touchdowns or something stupid, or not, right? And Chargers are going to score 13 points, and the Patriots are going to win 17-13 or something stupid like that. I just have this bad feeling that, like, now that we've all accepted that they're going to tank, that they're going to win, and then we're like, God damn it. Like, all right, fine, I guess, but, like, what the hell, you know? So, and look, I think realistically they're going to lose. But I can see that happening just because it's the freaking Chargers. And the Chargers are just the worst, dude. And they're coming, West Coast team, playing at 1 o'clock. Their coach is clearly going to get fired at the end of the year. Like, I just feel like, you know, it's a recipe for a disaster for that team. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots pull off the win.
I've got a fun little scenario for you for the next few weeks. They win Sunday. They find a way to win on Thursday against the Steelers just because – if that game's going to be a who wins the turnover battle. And But then, and it's like, hey, Kansas City, they're going to look good. And then they get blown out by like 25 at home to the Chiefs on that Sunday, on that Sunday afternoon. And then, so at that point, they're sitting at 4-10. And then the last three games, they kind of, I think there's a roadmap here. I wouldn't be shocked if they went like 5-12 on the year, where they go like they freaking go 3-3 the rest of the regular season. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they did that. Like, win the next two and then lose to like the Broncos and the Bills, and then you beat the Jets Week 18 just because. And that's like Bill Belichick's swan song. Because I know every Jets fan right now is like, oh, I can't wait to beat Belichick in his last thing. But like, Belichick going out and beating the Jets is just, it feels like such a Belichickian thing to do that I can say.
I agree with that. But then it's hard. Now you're picking what, 8th, 9th? What the hell good is that?
I know. I don't think this is going to happen. Realistically, like, I'm not rooting for them to lose. Like, I'm always going to root for them to win. But if they end up losing, I'm kind of like, you know what? You just kind of take it on the chin where you're like, it is what it is.
I mean, listen, if you're going to suck, this is the way you want to do it. You want to be the worst team in the league. If you're going to suck anyways, why be 6-10 or 6-11, I guess now? Like, be the worst team in the league, because then you get the number one overall pick. You know what I mean?
It's like Will Ferrell and semi-pro trying to get the guys from not scoring baskets because you didn't have the corn dogs to give away to the fans.
Right. Yep. So, but anyways. All right. This is fun, man. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Always love coming through. There's a lot that this offseason I feel like is going to be a very fun one to chat, just because there's so many different avenues. There's so many different things. The only thing I'm going to say right now, and I trust the team to not do this, is to do what the Panthers did, where you go out and sign a bunch of mid-level talents. I feel like if they're going to go free agency, you got to go big game hunting for like say if they're going to go quarterback.
Right.
Go get T. Higgins in free agency. go get Mike. I know he's older. Go get Mike Evans in free agency. Like, you know, go get those guys that are going to make plays for you. And I only say T. Higgins. I know it's like, oh, but T. Higgins is good. I'm like, yes. But then the other big name is Gabe Davis, and I don't want Gabe Davis as a wide receiver.
I agree.
Gabe Davis is a wide receiver, too, on a very good team, but he's not – let the Atlanta Falcons pay Gabe Davis or the Bears pay Gabe Davis.
Couldn't agree more.
Amount of money.
Could not agree more.
But with the T. Higgins thing, I'm looking at it. They've paid Joe Mixon. They paid Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase is not going to be cheap. So
I don't see how T. Higgins is back there. I don't see how he is. But I don't know. We'll see.
Here's a very fun one that they could try to do. But the Dallas Cowboys this year have a very fun predicament. I don't know if you know about this. Dak Prescott's cap hit's like $60 million this coming season.
Yeah, it's big.
They've got a defensive player who's going to want $30 million.
True.
They've also got a wide receiver that's going to want a very hefty price tag as well.
Yep. True.
I doubt it happens, but you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Lamb's going to want his money. And I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are going to give it to him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Unless Dak finagles things, but we'll have to wait and see. But you know what? This has been episode 265. For all the Patriot fans out there, guys, we're with you and we will be with you. And people still ask me, oh, you still cheer for the team? And I say this. I say two things. One, it's because for years where CD – oh, got overthrown. For years with this team, I've always been told, oh, are you going to be there with Brady leaves? And I'm sticking to my word. But I also say this too. You're in your fan stripes cheering for a bad team. Think about how easy it is to cheer for a perennial winner. We've experienced it for years. You get your stripes cheering for the bad team. When your team is bad, when you have to wake up and watch games every Sunday – I'm eating a slice of humble pie right now. You know what? But it is what it is. So that's that.
Love it. I love it. That's totally true. Listen, we have it so well. You have no idea, people. No idea. There are people that are in their 30s that are Lions fans that have never seen a playoff victory ever in their lifetime. So, like, I know things are really bad right now. I couldn't agree more. They're terrible. But, like, come on, people. It's going to be all right.
There are six banners, and hopefully one day, we don't know when, but hopefully one day there's number seven hanging in for the Raptors Gillette Stadium.
It'd be awfully nice, wouldn't it? Be awfully nice.
Would be. But anyway, guys, for Pat Lane and myself, take care, enjoy your night, and as always, go Pats.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.